Yo, what up? Good morning, GMG. Monday, April 29th, 2020. Look at that. Another beautiful day to have a beautiful day. We're going a little early today, but we are out here with my co-host, Bando. What's up? How are you doing this week?
Doing great, man. How are you?
I am vibing, currently getting the FOMO Hour account on the Twitter space. We caught the people by surprise. People are like, holy shit. Let's get a little retweets. Let's get a few retweets out. Give us a little love. At the bottom right, there is the purple box. You know what to do. Give us a little retweet, and then we will we'll be getting started in a second here. I don't know why my notification. I'm good, right? You guys hear me right? You guys hear me properly through the show?
Yeah.
Because my broadcaster. Yeah. Okay. Because I get notifications outside of it, which is weird. But anyways, there's always something going on with the StreamYard. Anyways, let the people know we're on live today. Let the people know we're live today. Oh my lord. So this morning I woke up, I checked price, obviously bad price, and then everybody's losing their minds all over the place. Once again, I'm out here just trying to get my workout in, chill, and do my thing. I know that there's friend airdrop this week. I know airdrop this week. I know runes are cooking. I know a lot of stuff is happening. I know everything's good in my hood, but somehow it's not so great in other hoods. So anyways, today, let's see what we got going on. Market report. Well, the yen, dude, we got to talk about Japan for like a hot second, man, though, because you got to explain to me what the fuck is going on there. I saw that chart. It looks like my favorite meme coins. ETH gas fees at 6-month low. Good time to put your grails in the vault. BTC now on track for 5 red weeks in a row. Ooh, wow. 5 red weeks in a row. Jeez, look at that. Eigenlayer, like I said, we have friends. We have a lot of stuff happening this week. Alt memes and dreams. A lot of hot coins this weekend again, especially cool man's. I'm just the artist.
That one's going down as an all-time line.
That is going down as a line. At least he was honest about it. I feel like a lot of, artists in 2021, just didn't even have the nerve to use that line, man. Though, we'll talk about it. I wanted to talk about what happened with Ovi this weekend, but I know he's not around because he had force majeure in his home. The poor guy. His walls are literally collapsing. What is going on in London, Mando? You tell me. So he'll come at some point. Runecoin launch on OKX. We'll go over some stuff. And of course, our guest is Emerge. I got my hoodie right next to me. Damn, it's pretty. I got a flaunt. That wasn't home when we last had Emerge on. So I'm excited to have Colby McGrabby on. She had a very successful mint. And last but not least, this show is presented by Fairside Network, our monthly partner. With all the coverage for drain scams and more, make sure you check him out. Fairside Network on X. Anyways, without further ado, why don't we just get right into it?
Who is the man, Macro Daddy of the land? Can you dig it?
How are we doing, lads?
That was funny.
It is. Sorry, let me just join the space first.
I love the how we doing, lads.
The hard hats on sort of day, we used to call them.
You said what? You used to call them the what?
Hard hats on. As in, like,
what does it mean?
Just means shit's raining down on us right now. We need to save ourselves. It's definitely not been the best of weeks, I think, for crypto. We had a little bit of a slither of hope on the weekend because we saw ETH rally. And there was some, it looked like one of the ETFs was listed on DTCC. I think it was the Franklin or the Fidelity ETF. So people were like, oh, maybe the ETH, it's going to get listed. And obviously this is also on the back of Consensus suing the SEC.
Yeah.
That seemed to be kind of another, how we've seen recently when ETH rallies, everything dumps.
Again, bro.
It was the final we had a little rally, I think, up to 0.05 ETH BTC. Then everything's dumped since. So everything's down again. Bitcoin is still holding up okay. Like, we're still sitting here at Bitcoin at 62K. It's not hit a lower low than we hit recently, but most altcoins, most meme coins, Solana, even ETH has all sold off pretty heavily over the last 24 hours. It's not feeling that great out there, I would say. I've been bullish on Bitcoin because it felt like flows were still supportive, but now we're on for 3 weeks of outflows from the ETF. Nothing too crazy, but I think you have to be realistic there. It's not just been 1 week in isolation. This is now a bit of a trend. And you could say that's backward looking, but it does put us on a slightly more precarious scenario. It feels like the ETFs have just not picking up. We do have the Hong Kong ETF launching this week. But I think it's just a bit of a disaster, I think, not a disaster, but it's definitely not been a strong 3 weeks, what people expected. And that, I think, as we've said before, like, with Bitcoin catches a cold, everything else is getting COVID at this stage. Like, it's fucking, it's fucking horrific out there
God.
users.
As Bitcoin catches a cold, everything catches COVID, it seems. That, dude, I'm going to tweet that. as Bitcoin. That was a good quote. That's a good one. Oh my god, it's true, man. I mean, look, Bitcoin's at 62k ish. Like, what are you seeing, like, on the trader side? Like, what's Trader Mando? What's the Mando trader out?
I've been bullish on Bitcoin. Like, I still think Bitcoin is a good point. And I think I also still believe that this is a sort of time where everything is down. So if your coin hasn't done well this year and you're still holding on to it, like, this is not a bad time to get into a better narrative and play a bounce, you know? So, like, you know, if you're in some alt L1 or you're in some DeFi coin, like, all these narratives just haven't really caught on and feels like they're probably not going to be that loved this cycle. I think it's not the worst time to consider, you know, maybe a different L1, maybe a different narrative, like, which could bounce very aggressively back if we get a stronger footing. So definitely consider that. If you don't want to go into Bitcoin, which, you know, some people might not, like, if your coin is down 50% and I'm telling you to get into Bitcoin, which is only down 10 or 15%, you might be like, well, I want to make that my money. You can get into another coin here, but just be, like, aware that don't just hold on that coin that's been down all year or hasn't really done that well. And that's the same for any asset so far this year. We've been in a raging bull market. You've now got an opportunity. Use this down, like, this down move. Think about it on the front foot. Like, wow, I get an opportunity now to get into something which is probably going to be a better cycle play. So I think you got to consider that a little bit. And, you know, there's been a few different things said, though, over the last 24 hours. Like, you had Peter Brandt, who's, like, a well-known trader in the space, that he thinks 70 was the cycle top. You had Bernstein coming out and saying, we're still going to 150, 150K. This is just a blip. We're going to see inflows again into the ETF. There's been a lot of hot takes about Japan.
Do you want to explain to us what's happening on the Japanese yen side?
Yeah, this is the thing. Like, crypto, Ovi always says this, like, we find a narrative and then the price action, we pin to this narrative. And actually, it's not really been the case that the Japanese yen is causing global markets to sell off. Like, stocks had their best week last week. Tech stocks had their best week in 6 months. Like, gold had a good week. It's near all-time highs. So the two main things that you would look at for crypto had a good week last week. So to say we're selling off because the Japanese yen, I think I don't know. I think that's just, like, us trying to search for a narrative of why we've sold off.
Yeah. But
basically, Japanese yen has been selling off and most currencies, particularly Asian currencies, have been selling off versus the dollar over the course of the last few months. Japanese yen has been very notably selling off, as has the South Korean won and even the Chinese yuan. And there has been speculation And what's really happened there is that inflation is not as aggressive as it is potentially in the US. And everyone's been expecting the Fed to cut interest rates. And now it's looking less likely. In fact, there's some people who think they might increase interest rates. And what that means is the dollar has become stronger because people are like, well, my interest rates are going to be higher in the US than they are everywhere else. The issue about that is that a lot of currencies have then become incredibly weak versus the dollar, the yen being the most, and that's painful for people in those countries, like particularly big importing countries. Like if you're importing goods from abroad and your currency becomes much weaker, you suddenly, you know, it's a lot more costly to do several different things. So the central banks of these countries have been saying for a while, like, we're going to step in and try and save this. And they can't really raise interest rates because they're a slightly more precarious point in terms of growth. And also Japan has much more debt, public debt. So it's just not really in position to be able to do that. And the issue about that is also the Jeff, that would be okay if they stepped in to defend it versus the dollar, but they, and people might question their amount of firepower. The Japanese, and this is quite protracted, so I'm sorry if you're not following, but Japan is also the number one holder of US treasuries. The number one holder in the world of US treasuries.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So the firepower that Japan has is US treasuries. So when they say they're going to defend the Japanese yen, they're not just selling dollars, they're selling US treasuries.
Okay.
Bond yields go up. So what you've seen is an exacerbation of what's been going on in the bond yield market, in that yields have been rising. And so part of the reason why we've seen this big, big blowout in yields and yields gone higher is because Japan is selling these assets. And if the yen continues to face issues, they could really like smash the US bond market, essentially.
And what does that mean for the economy as a whole? Would it be something short? Would it be something...
Well, that would be quite big. Like if you consider like why we sold off last year, it was because of what people called quantitative tightening, which is where the Fed was selling similarly these sort of assets back to the market. This would basically be another version of that, except instead of the Fed, it's the Japanese smashing US treasuries lower and creating a sell-off potentially in global markets.
Do you think it is justified then based on that thesis to think that the market correlates to that?
So I think this is like the worst case scenario, right? But I think you also have to look at like what other assets are doing in relation to this, or how much they would consider is really the risk here. And tech stocks, which would be battered in that scenario, didn't really have that bad a period. I mean, even most of the stock markets around the world haven't had that horrific a period. Bond yields have gone higher, but part of that is also to do with the idea that inflation's gone higher as well. There's like a more, I guess there's a higher chance of like a tail event is what's happened. People now think like, you know, if this really does spiral and people continue to attack the Japanese yen, you know, there could be like a tail event here where you have an unwinding of quite a big position of US treasuries, and that could cause an issue. Sometimes Bitcoin reacts to those sort of tail events, but more often than not, it's which is kind of what we saw with Iran and Israel the other day. Like it got battered because people, like, they really don't like tail events with crypto. They're like, World War III happens, or if like something nuclear happens, like crypto gets absolutely destroyed.
Right.
That being said, like other risk assets that aren't really, the yen is getting affected, but like you haven't seen gold and you haven't seen
So that's how you would go first, right? Gold, right?
And arguably a lot of Bitcoin as well are saying, you know, like if you're involved in these currencies, as we've said several times in the show, Bitcoin is the lifeboat.
Right.
Like Bitcoin doesn't get inflated away. Bitcoin doesn't have
That's always the irony of these events, right? That Bitcoin tanks when Bitcoin is supposedly
It's the lifeboat. Like, as you know right now, everyone in those nations is buying gold. China and Japan have been buying gold even more than the people at Costco. Like, they're buying gold like insane amounts over the last few months, over the last few years even. So, and gold is very similar sort of value proposition to Bitcoin. So you could argue that Bitcoin shouldn't do terrible in these sort of scenarios. But so it's, I think a lot of people just put a narrative onto the price action rather than this, like,
actually.
Yeah, it's like, oh my god, have you seen what's going on in Japan? I have, but I wouldn't necessarily say that that's what's causing Bitcoin to go lower. I think, right, Bitcoin's going lower because we haven't seen ETF inflows for three weeks, and that's not a great scenario. And the Japanese yen's been blowing up for six months, a year. Like, this isn't something that's like, yeah, it moved from you. Yeah, it went from 150 to 160, but I mean, it's been blowing up for a long, 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 long time. So, like, I wouldn't necessarily say this is like, oh my god, Japan. Let's see though. Like, it could spiral.
It was a Max Kaiser tweet, right? I think we took it from your stuff, but like, he goes, very few are aware of what's going on here and the risk involved. The yen carry trade has been the linchpin supporting global liquidity for 30 years. If it blows, the credit freeze of 2008 would look small. What do you make of something like that? That's a pretty bold statement, though. Like, supporting the linchpin supporting liquidity for 30 years?
Yeah, like, look, this is just a classic. You know, I'm going to take off my Bitcoin hat and put on my macroeconomic hat.
Yeah.
I think that's a very, very aggressive view of what could happen. Right. Okay. And I don't think that's, again, I don't think that's why Bitcoin necessarily is selling off. Is that bad for Bitcoin? Is that good? Max Kaiser is a big Bitcoin bull. So I don't know if he's saying this as a bullish tweet or not.
Yeah.
But I just wouldn't. It's a tail event still. For me, it's a tail event. And it could get worse, but for me, it's still a tail event.
Okay. Look, that's good to know. I mean, look, this is the majority of the conversation going on right now in timeline when it comes to majors, with Bitcoin still hovering around 62K, ETH back down to 3165. I mean, Bitcoin closer to 63 or 62, and Sol back about around 136. Of course, like, by default, the meme coins are not trading very well, but that's just whatever. It's just kind of how it is on that front and across the board. So that's that. Question for you, Mando. I'm going to ask Ovi the same question. I know he's on his way. With inflows and or outflows, like the ETFs slowing down, do you think that leaves a narrative for the rest of the market finally to bloom in a way? I was wondering this weekend, like, obviously, it's been heavily market dominated by Bitcoin. We've talked about Bitcoin dominance probably going to keep going higher and higher and higher, and, you know, total three, et cetera, maybe getting hammered on the back of that. But what do you think? Like, do you think these inflows being much lower now and TradFi maybe having less of an arm, a hand in it, could allow for the rest of the market to finally find its footing? Or is it just like you said, like, Bitcoin is going to sneeze, the rest going to catch COVID?
I would say that for some things, yes, and for some things, no.
Okay.
I think if you're at that point in the adoption cycle where people are actually using you, like, I would look for users. There was a really good tweet by Mert yesterday. I don't know if you saw it, but he said that, I think that all L1s have been worse for this case than meme coins. Where did he put it?
I know which one you're talking about, and he's absolutely right. I do think that some L1s have been worse for the industry than the meme coins that people are talking about. Because they've raised a significant amount of money more.
I thought it was a really good tweet. And I thought,
on the back, there it is. That's the one. Because it was on the back of the Forbes article, right? About the chains being dead. He goes, these zombies L1s. So Mert said, the zombie L1s with cult-like following spreading pure nonsense 24/7 are 10,000x a bigger problem for crypto than any meme coin. Things like Cardano, etc. have done serious damage. Then he followed it by, it's always the same shit. Founder speaking about bullshit just technical enough to fool all non-technical people, cult gathers and coordinates on Reddit. They have a virtual support group where they repeat nonsense to each other. If someone on Twitter says anything that goes against their delusion, they swarm around as a group and say generic nonsense because there's zero substance to actually use in any coherent argument. Damn, I've been on the other side of that. Everyone new that buys in gets wrecked. I mean, that's the tweet you're talking about, right, Mando?
Yeah, that's it. I guess going back to your first point, what would I own? I'd own stuff which is seeing adoption. I wouldn't own stuff which is this, which is just narrative based on trash. And that goes for anything. That goes for meme coins as well. Like, there are certain meme coins which, you know, was some cabal run up and has no real community other than, you know, people getting dumped on you, yeah. And you know which ones are probably going to be like more active. You can feel it. You can feel the ones that feel have the more strength. And I would say it's the same for altcoins. Like, does your altcoin have any users, or is it enter random AI narrative and enter random like trash narrative, and let's hope that picks up users next cycle.
Yeah.
Like, does your altcoin have users this cycle?
Right. I mean, does the good for nothing blockchains was pretty. It's pretty
great. Right.
I mean, I think Monero. I think Monero is pretty useful for the industry as a whole for privacy. So I think that one caught a stray here.
It's tough. Monero it did okay, but I would say Monero is a last cycle's coin. But I would just say that as a use case in general, like, are people using it? Are people not? Tokenomics is important too. Like, are people just going to be dumping on you,
yeah,
even if it bounces?
Weave catching strays here too, I feel. But I get it.
Like, Weave, I would say, is catching strays here out of all of those.
Tezos, the only thing you're doing is giving Ovi a chance to go play at Old Trafford. It's about down to what they're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, bullish on Tezos for that. I saw a tweet this morning.
Sorry, I love Tezos, man.
Are you going to drop a piece on Tezos? I saw you made like 600 again on Blast.
I should drop a piece on Tezos, actually. We really need to talk
about how OSF made, like...
We got to talk about how OSF's about to buy a zombie.
I asked about him yesterday. I was like, hold on. So you've just made $2 million. He's like, no, man.
Hold on, so we should go into what actually happened.
I think it's the most wild shit I've seen on the blockchain in a while.
Let's take the conversation.
The window one second.
Let's take the conversation there. And then tomorrow, Mando, when you're back, though, I want to go a little deeper on this L1 conversation you're having and maybe ask you, like, I know you probably talk about them a lot, but what you're looking at most, because now I feel like people will be really curious.
I'll tell you right now, which I think could be really good to still this cycle. Sure. I think obviously Solana, ETH, Bitcoin, if you call that an L1. I would say I'm very bullish on Ton, just because I think they are integrating it into an app with 800 million users. Yep. The tokenomics is not as good there, so you have to be aware on people dumping you. There has been some light chatter about things like Near and Sui, because they have actually gained TVL.
A lot of people are talking about Sui on my timeline again. Right. A lot of them. They were all over Paris, by the way, in the blockchain week. All over.
Now, they are... still early on the adoption cycle, I would say. Near has got a lot of users because it has one game on it, which a lot of people play, but they're still relatively early. But I would say that they, you know, you could argue that they are still on that adoption cycle, and people are bullish on both of those stories. Sui has got a lot of TVL versus a lot of the other chains. Like, it's got hundreds of millions of TVL versus a lot of these, which have basically nothing. But I would still say the use cases of Sui are a little bit limited. They've had some big brand partnerships randomly. Like, I think they did a partnership with ByteDance actually the other day, which is the owner of TikTok, which is kind of random. But yeah, I would say those two are okay on that cycle. And then I would say you could say AVAX is maybe getting there as well. Like, it's a bit, you know, never really caught on
A few catalysts, though, like Shrapnel, I think. Like, some of the gaming side is true catalyst for them.
So the only two that have, like, which died from the last cycle and came back, other than Solana, which I think has really come back, I would say that you would maybe bet on is like Phantom, and because they may be having this new Sonic upgrade coming in the summer, and people could argue that that's going to be a big they're going to have the highest TPS for a while there, and people will say a lot of people will use it again, but they don't really have that many users or TVL right now, so you could argue that that's a riskier one, or it's Avalanche, like I said, because people can argue, you know, they have a bit of a gaming thing going on. They have a few things, but they've never really hit properly. And they do have some memes. They do have some building. Their DeFi is decent-ish, I would say. So those are the ones. Other than that, if you're owning one, like, just have real, real questions about what you own. I don't know if I'm missing any major ones there, but like that's the same for all narratives as well. If you are waiting for the bull market to see users in your DeFi protocol, AI protocol, fucking... whatever narrative you want to go for, social fi, like, if you're waiting for the bull, it's happened, right? You have not got the users. So, like, move to one of the ones that's down 40%, which has that.
What about Snake? Oh, he changed to his red guy that he won last week.
I was bullish on Say for the tech. They never picked up a TVL.
There's nothing going on.
The V2 never happened. The V2 launch got delayed. They never picked up the TVL. They never picked up the users. They had a bit of an NFT thing going for a while, and they still have a weirdly an active NFT community, but it's not happening. And that foundation has been dumping the hell out of this token.
Yeah, like, that's what I was really going to say. Like, I heard one of the founders is like max dumping his shit.
See, people have said that if Monad launches at 100 million.
I was going to say, you didn't mention my bags, dude.
If Monad launches at, like, you know, 50 billion plus, people will get bullish. But because Say is very similar. But other than that, like, I think I've got to be less bullish on Monad because it just hasn't picked up.
Have you seen the animal that thread guy keeps tweeting about? Dude, have you seen that thing?
What are you doing?
I don't know, dude. Fucking whatever thread guy say on timeline. I don't. Dude,
does he get paid to talk about Monad?
He does. He does, actually. Yeah, he talks about ultimate.
I'm not going to think about it.
Dude, hold on. Dude, my bags are going to 50 billion, right? Right? Like, that would be not bad. I mean, you know, that was what's
we didn't get a look on Monad, so
yeah, it's the hell out of it.
Yeah, so
that's gonna be weird, and you guys are gonna have to fud it, and I'm gonna have to defend it. It's gonna be a bag wars. I love that. I'm kind of excited for that. Anyways,
bag wars.
Bag at the end of the day, like, we all got like the same bags all over the board. It's so funny. Anyway, speaking of bags, Blast is another one that's going to be pretty big. The month of May is around the corner, but that's not what I want to talk about on Blast. I want to talk about the fact that Ovi just made $2 million. Ovi, what the hell? I was home. I was away. I was at my mom's for brunch. I started Drop It. You know I'm a fan of your art. I was super excited. I was like, fuck it. Like, I'll get Blast exposure through Fantasy Top and like these dApps. I was like, fuck it. I'll get like Ovi's art, I guess his Blast exposure. And I missed it. And you seemingly bought a zombie over the weekend as well. So tell us, run me through this. Because this is like, probably, if I got this, understood this right, the best use of the cross of art and DeFi I've ever seen in this industry. So run us through this. What is Pack Wrecked?
Yeah, so for the record...
His bags.
For the record, I did not make $2 million, but there's an app, there's a dApp on Blast called Blaster, BLASTR, and they have this cool feature which is refundable NFTs. So you can buy an NFT, or you can create an NFT, and you can make it refundable, and you can set a time period after which it is refundable. So, I sold this NFT, it was an edition of 3,333, and after 28 days, it's refundable. So it means anyone who buys it now, they have to hold on to it, and their ETH goes into a pool. And after 28 days, they're able to refund it and take their ETH back out of the pool, basically. So it's pretty cool. Like, it's like, it kind of makes the NFT unruggable, and I kind of liked it because it's like, well, whatever. It's like, there's definitely like a nice feeling about creating art and selling it, but obviously if you do it too much, then you dilute your own supply, and then, you know, people lose money on it, and then they're just like, oh, you know, what's going on here? Whereas with this, you can like create stuff, and then people don't want it anymore, they can just refund it, and it has the ability to do that. Now, the reason why I think it sold out so fast is because people are obviously farming gold on Blast right now. Yes. And Blaster is one of the dApps that has been given some gold, so when you create a collection here, the creator has the option to pick how much gold gets distributed to the collectors, and I just picked 100%. So 100% of the gold that I get from whatever it is, like,
so you're getting nothing.
The only thing that I get in this situation is I get the Blast native yield on the TVL. So
you're like farming. It's like, this is genius. So you're farming Blast by just creating art.
You can farm Blast by creating art. Yeah, maybe there'll be other airdrops. I don't know if there'll be other, they have creator airdrops for gold. There's a possibility for that. Everyone who collects it farms gold as well, and they can get their money back after 28 days. And the creator also gets the yield on it. So it's not really a lot of money. Like, I'd make 4% on.
So what if nobody refunds? You keep the funds that are not refunded?
No. So it's, if nobody refunds, it stays into that, put in that pool, and I just earn the yield. You know, Blast has native yield, right? So I'd earn like 3.5% on that money, whatever's left in the pool. What you can
NFT?
And people, while people keep their NFT, yeah. But if you want to
unless they refund.
If you refund it, you lose your NFT, yeah. So the supply goes lower, yeah. What you can do is you can upgrade your NFT, which makes it non-refundable. And if you do that, the idea is like, you know, if I said something like, oh, everyone who upgrades their NFT will get some benefit, and everyone goes and does it, then that money is released to me.
And what happens if I buy on secondary? Because I notice it's already available.
It's the same thing, but you have to just make sure what you buy on secondary isn't an NFT that's already been upgraded. Because it's, if it's already been upgraded and you buy on secondary, then you can't return it.
So it does say here. So just for people to pay attention, please, only 5 of them have been upgraded so far. Mm-hmm. So make sure it's not upgraded if you're trying to buy it, right? So what's the upside of buying this on the secondary? Because I missed it and it's close to mint.
You may get a distribution of Blast Gold.
Interesting. Okay.
What might happen is Blast are like, okay, we're going to give Blast Gold to these projects, and then it could then go to the holders of those NFTs. So it's kind of like, it's not risk-free. Like, obviously, if Blast, you know, if something happens with the platform or something rugs, you would lose your money. It's also really just opportunity cost. It's like, you know, if you spent 0.169 ETH on this, but you don't have access to that for 28 days, could you have made more money with that in 28 days before getting your money back?
God.
So it maybe makes sense if you are fine with the smart contract risk and the levels of centralized risks, and you just have money you were keeping in ETH anyway. It's kind of like a way of staking ETH, if you like, for Blast Gold potentially.
Got it. Okay. Interesting. Very interesting. But man, there's levels of Ponzi's being built in this industry. I have to say, I'm impressed. Not by you. You're participating I think this is, you may inspire a lot of artists to get involved in this. This is actually genius.
It's cool. I just like the idea of being able to create something, and if someone's like, nah, I don't like this anymore, they can just return it. And then
I love that. I love the concept of that. It's like on you, it's like less pressure. Because it's not like you're making the 500 something ETH. It's like, oh, you have to, you're like, you're not.
Yeah.
But you're gonna get creative yield.
And then maybe further down the line, I could be like, okay, I'm gonna create this thing, and in order to access it, you have to upgrade this NFT. And then if everyone does it, then I get that ETH back. I actually do get that ETH. That makes sense. So I don't have an idea for it, but you know, maybe if, in the future, if I do, that I can do that and be like, cool, here's a new mint. This will be, if you have upgraded your pack rect, you'll be on the allow list for this new mint.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I that saw, way it will release that ETH to me.
So it's funny. So now I see what you did, because I'd seen this. Dad said the same thing with photography that he took.
Yeah.
And then Cyrus, I should do this with baby pictures. That's
Group baby pictures season 2.
Dude, I mean, hey, like, look, there's the utility there. All right, well, that's super interesting. I love that. Look, there's a bunch of stuff I want to dive into today, but obviously, like, nature of the show today is a little different. We had to bend the show forward a bit. I do want to talk more about the consensus versus SEC stuff going on. Tomorrow, I did want to dive a little deeper about some questions I had for Mando today that he answered well, but curious your thoughts on the Japanese and everything there. And then, of course, want to talk about the fact that WIF wicked to $40 on the Bybit listing this morning. So we're going to have to fill that WIF. And then that's a new WIC. That's the next level WIC to fill, Obi. That $4 one was crazy. Imagine that $4 one. And of course, I want to talk more about my beautiful runes, because those are fucking cooking. I mean, $100 million market cap gain this weekend, I think, on RSIC. Let's fucking go. I've never been more bullish I have been, but I'm very bullish on that team in general. I wrote about this weekend. But anyways.